There's so much in the readings today, it's hard to know what to skip. This child of the promise. And the challenge to believe God. And when Sarah laughed, see, the Lord said, you did laugh. In other words, you're not believing. Excuse me, I don't know. I'll try again. Now these are the great patriarchs and matriarchs. As I pointed out before, the Jewish people never dissemble the weaknesses of their great heroes because God made them great. So they don't have to. You know, Abraham finally believed God twice about this son. Once when he promised to give him posterity, and again when he told him, take Isaac and sacrifice him. Sarah was having a harder time with all of this. But finally, when the Lord came back a year later, she was nursing Isaac, which is what God promised. In the gospel, they're both, as I'm going to try to point out, they're both about faith. We finished the Sermon on the Mount. And now Matthew gives us 10 miracles in chapters 8 and 9 to show us that the word of the Lord is strong and powerful, and that what we've heard, if we take in and agree to it, will change us. That's why we ponder the scriptures. Not just read the Bible. Because we want that word to enter us and change us. So the first person healed is a Jew. It was yesterday, probably. A leper. And Jesus said, now go show yourself to the priest. The second is a Gentile. This wonderful man. And this speech of the centurion's, I have authority, I know what authority is, you have authority, just say it, my boy will be all right. It's the longest speech of anybody in the Gospels besides Jesus. And it's all about faith. And at the end, this the third miracle, the first three, the Jew with the leprosy, the Gentile with his sick boy, and then in the house of Peter, the Christian. Jesus heals everybody. So we have this beautiful story, which is commemorated and will be made clearer again when we have the revised liturgy on the first Sunday of Advent. Lord, I am not worthy that, I don't know what we say now, but whatever we say, it comes from here. Our Lord was amazed. That's very important theologically. It means in his active mind, he acquired knowledge. In his deep mind, he saw the Father, knew everything. But he was amazed. You're only amazed if you see something and don't know the cause of it or didn't expect it. That was a key text for St. Thomas. He changed his mind when he had pondered that text. First he said, no, the Lord didn't acquire knowledge. He knew everything. And then he kept pondering that text. He said, no, I'm wrong. And he says it in the Summa. I was wrong. Take an example from his humility. As you have believed, let it be done for you. I tell you, they'll come from the east and the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the children of the kingdom. Now, who are the children of the kingdom? If you look, get it in a concordance if you want, and look. This phrase only comes one other time in Matthew. and it's the Christians. This pagan is doing better with his faith than you are with yours. Then we have this story. What I'm trying to do this morning is not so much exhortation as show you, ponder, read, think. These texts are opening up reality for us. We know them. I know he's going to heal her, you know. I know the end of the story. And so we're not. He went into the house of Peter. That's the church. And he saw his mother-in-law. Now notice, if you get a chance to look at the other ones. In the other stories, they tell Jesus about her. In Matthew, he sees her himself. This is a theme in Matthew. The intimate bond between the Lord and the believer. And he goes over, he touched her hand, and the fever left him. And she rose and waited on him. This is a vocation story. For Mark and Luke, she waited on them, which she surely did. But Matthew wants to show us, if you have been called, it's because the Lord has taken you by the hand and lifted you up. You were sick. And you still would be sick if the Lord hadn't come to you. And so, what does a servant, what does a called person do? They serve. And again, it's the same. If you look at Mark and Luke, and she waited on them. Well, of course she did. She's the woman of the house. But Matthew wants to point out this intimate bond, this healed person clinging to Jesus. She waited on them. So in here, she waited on him. Eyes fixed on Jesus. So you see, so many of the healing stories are at the same time vocation stories. How did any of us get here this morning? We have been healed gratuitously, freely, with no merit of our own. And then comes evening. Now that he's healing people, you see, this in Capernaum and then in his own, in Peter's house. Peter's house is still standing, by the way, over there in Capernaum. They brought everybody. Zoe's possessed by demons, and he drove them out, and he cured all the sick. Now, where does this power come from? And this is important. The gift of healing. It's a gift of healing. Sure, it's a gift of healing. He took away our infirmities and bore our diseases. Look it up. Any Bible you've got is going to give you a footnote to where that text comes from. You know already, don't you? This is the fourth servant song. Where does it come from? It comes from his passion, his power to heal. He took everything. He took our infirmities. He bore our diseases. He took them all to the cross. And he heals. So it's not a light matter. And when we heal through the power of the Lord, it's coming from the cross. So